To wrap things up by just sharing a few more thoughts about what we talked about last week in regards to every member being called to be a missionary. Every member is a missionary, but I realize that when we talk about missionary, we need to answer the question, what exactly is a missionary? What is a missionary? We discussed this at length a few weeks ago in my Sunday school class on Sunday morning. We learned that there are many different perspectives. You could get some rather long discussions and definitions on what is a missionary. We don't have time to do that today. So I wanted to just go to the heart of it. I would suggest this as being a simple, not simplistic, but a simple definition of a missionary. A missionary. A missionary is a believer in Christ. A believer in Christ who shares the love of God. Who shares the love of God through the gospel of Jesus with others in word and deed. Who does that describe? That describes every one of us here who know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And one way or another, we're all called to be missionaries. Actually, last week we looked at 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul uses a little bit different term to describe our calling. He says we are called to be Christ's ambassadors. We're called to be his representative, his envoy, his spokesperson with the ministry and the message of reconciliation. The ministry and message of knowing peace with God. That's what Gracie was talking about as she talked about sharing with people. They're seeking what we're all seeking, peace. And peace with God, peace with our Creator. That's only possible through Jesus Christ. We talked last week about the fact that if we're going to be effective representatives, effective ambassadors or effective missionaries, there are some things we need to know. Clearly, we need to know God. We talked about that. Clearly, we need to know God's passion. What is God passionate about that we might share in his passion? We talked a bit about that. And today, I want us to be reminded also that we need to know God's plan. What is God's plan as it comes to being a missionary, calling us to be missionaries? In Acts chapter 1, we read of how, after his resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples speaking about the kingdom of God. As I picture those 40 days, I can only imagine the disciples as they're beginning to understand who Jesus is and what the gospel is, that they're beginning to ask themselves, and maybe they ask Jesus, what is your plan? We understand now who you are. We understand what it means to be reconciled with God through Jesus Christ, but what is your plan? So Jesus shared the plan with them. And you remember in the 8th verse of the first chapter of Acts, Jesus said this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus was very clear. He went right to the heart of it. What is his plan? He said, you will receive the power. His plan is you and me. His plan is you and me. I remember when I was in seminary, we had a speaker at our chapel one day as I was thinking about how God might be calling me. And he was talking about this very point, how we're called to share the gospel. And he said, you know, God could do it in any way. Because God is God, he could write the gospel in the sky, in the clouds. Because God is God, he could have birds come sing the gospel to us. Because God is God, he could drop some kind of leaflets from the heavens, right? But God has chosen to use you and me to share the good news. And I know if you're like me, sometimes you wonder, why me? Why me? Why us? But you know, we really are the best candidates for the job. And the reason is this. First of all, we are eyewitnesses to Christ. We said a missionary is a believer, someone who knows that Christ is in them and they are in Christ. Remember we talked about that last week? Paul said we're in Christ and he is in us. We are eyewitnesses to Jesus. We are firsthand witnesses to who he is and what he can do. The best witnesses are the firsthand witnesses, right? And so we are the best candidate for that. We know Jesus. We know that he is in us and we are in him. But also we are the best witnesses for Jesus because we can relate not only with our Savior, but we can relate with those that we're sharing. Paul, in his first letter to Timothy, tells Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 15 that he is the worst of sinners. And you might say, well, if that's the case, that means that he couldn't be a good witness. But the reason that Paul shares that, if you read on into verse 16, is to say, because I know I'm a sinner, I also know God's grace. And therefore, actually, I'm the best witness, because I can tell you what God does in my life. God's plan is you and me, but we're not on our own, are we? God's plan is to give us power. The ultimate power to fulfill this mission is not in our methods and our means, as important as both of those things are. The power is in God through His Holy Spirit in us. He empowers us to do His work. It is only God who can change lives. It is only God who can save. It is only God who can transform. But He gives us the power to share the truth and the power of the gospel with others. So we are the plan. We will be empowered. And what is the message? He says, be my witnesses. Our message is Jesus. Our message is Jesus. He is the center, the foundation, the purpose, and the point of all that we say and all that we do as missionaries. When the church has lost sight of this, it's wandered away from the truth. Jesus must be the center. Jesus must be who we are and what we're about in all we say and all that we do. Jesus said, be my witnesses. And to whom? To all those far and near. We must carry the message of Christ to everyone, both in Jerusalem, which meant they were in Jerusalem, across the street. But then he goes on to say, and even to the far ends of the earth. Not only do we carry it far and near, but we carry it to those who are like us and those who are not like us. He says, go to Judea, that is people who share your common culture, but also go to Samaria, those who are different from you in culture. Everyone needs to hear the good news. And we can't close this thought without considering God's plan of salvation. In 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul is talking about us being called to be Christ's ambassadors, to be missionaries with the ministry and message of reconciliation, he closes that chapter by giving us a quick summary of the gospel in verse 21. He says, God made him, that is Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus, though born of a woman, was sinless in every sense. He may have been tempted to sin. He certainly felt the effects of a fallen world on his physical body, but he maintained utter and complete holiness in thought and word and deed. This truth goes to the heart of the gospel, doesn't it? It's essential to know that our Savior, Jesus, is sinless because it establishes his divinity. Although he's fully man, he's also fully God. And it's also the basis for him to be our sacrifice, to take our place on the cross. He made him who had no sin, that he might become sin for us. One translation puts it this way, God treated Jesus as a sinner. Jesus, the sinless one, became our sin offering. Only he could take our sins upon himself because he had none of his own. Only he could pay the price for our sins. It's important to note that when Paul says here that God made him to be sin, he means much more than just simply that he announced or pronounced him as a sinner. But Jesus actually took our sins upon himself. How do we know that? You remember that dramatic moment as Jesus is hanging on the cross? And he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God has turned his back on his son. The scriptures teach us that because God is holy, he cannot so much as look upon sin. So as Jesus hung upon the cross, he actually took our sins upon him. And for that moment, God, the holy God, had to turn his back on him until he paid the price for your sins and mine. Jesus actually became a curse for us, as Paul puts it in Galatians 3. So he had no sin, but he took our sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The wonder of the gospel is this. God saw Jesus as a sinner, worthy of only death on the cross. But because Jesus died in our place, God now sees us as righteous, and therefore can fully accept us. The New Living Translation puts it this way, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Jesus substituted our sins because he had none of his own. Now he substitutes his righteousness because we have none of our own in our place. This is the good news of the gospel. This is the good news of the cross that extends across that eternal gap between man, fallen man, and eternal God, holy God, that we might have peace, that we might have reconciliation. This is God's plan. This morning, let me ask you a couple of questions. And the first one is this. Are you a part of that plan? Do you know that Jesus Christ died for you? Do you know that you are in Christ and he is in you? Tracy made an interesting point. As they go to minister, for example, to the people in Mexico, many of them understand the points that I'm preaching. They understand the basics of the gospel, the basics of the word, sometimes better than many of us, right? They've been raised in religious families. But what they don't know is how to cross this bridge to peace with God. And that is through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, his resurrection, and his grace. Do you know that? And if you know it, are you sharing it? Are you living it? Are you telling it? It's a wonderful story. Eternal truth. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the call upon our lives. Father, as we come before you, most of us in this building, believers in Christ, we thank you that someone, maybe many people, told us. And Father, we pray that you will help us to see how today and tomorrow, throughout this week, we can, in attitude, in action, and in word, share the good news of Christ, that we might fulfill the calling that is upon us to be missionaries for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.